So recently, I stumbled upon a website for interpreting dreams, and I got real curious about what my own dreams might mean. From WBEZ Chicago, this is When Magic Happens. I'm Taylor Coward, here with Jennifer Shaylove Bowers and Cheryl Jackson, and today we're talking about dreams. Let's talk about dreams, baby. More after the break.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Songs About Dreams, 1, 2, 3, go.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine, Salt and Pepper and Heavy D up in the limousine.
Cheryl, you didn't have a dream song. She took a hype man role.
I have another one.
Oh, drop it.
Have y'all heard that song? It goes, dreams. Whatever dreams may come.
No.
No. Actually, no. But okay, I loved it.
It was a little off key.
I liked it though.
No.
I got
what's that song? The one, dream.
Oh yeah.
Dream. I love them. I don't know the whole song, but I just, that pops to mind. It's not a pop song, but it's something.
No, that's
from
a good
movie.
One.
Yeah.
Taylor, what you got?
The Fleetwood Mac song.
Okay, let's hear it.
But they don't say dreams in it. No, they don't. So it takes the fun out.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by.
What is that?
Oh!
Les Mis. Oh, Brianna was on her Broadway in her Broadway bag. I ain't never seen Les Mis. But that was beautiful. And Deshaun just gave us another song.
What you got?
What did you say, Deshaun?
It was the Eurythmics, Sweet Dreams.
Who am I to disappear?
I traveled the world in the seven seas.
Everybody is looking for something.
Everything.
Oh, I thought of another one. These Dreams by Heart. Is that Heart?
Oh my God, yeah. Yes. I used to love that one.
When I close my eyes. Yeah. Every second of the night.
These dreams. Yes.
Yeah. I think okay. that was good dream songs, right? Okay, yeah. I think we reached our dream quota. Do we have recurring dreams?
I do have a recurring dream.
Okay.
I have a recurring dream that I am in college and I am consistently late to the class. And when I get to the class, it's like I can't communicate. I can't talk, you know, but I'm like there. But it's just kind of like, I can't say that or even explain why I was late. And so it's like something that is constantly recurs. Like it's consistent.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Were you like always late to class in college?
No, I wasn't. And I mean, I think that's why it's so interesting. And it's always college and it's always the same classroom. It's the same classroom that I'm always late to. And
what subject? Yeah. What was it? Math? It was science?
No, it was one of my mass media arts classes, like television production. And I was always late to getting to the class. And then when I got there, I couldn't say anything. Ain't that neat?
Yeah, it is. There it is.
I'm gonna keep a tally of things for us to look up. So one theme is what did you say? Not being able to speak.
Not being able to speak and always being late. Okay. Those are the two things that stand out.
Because I wonder what that means. So maybe we can look those up.
I was just going to tell you my interpretation of it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, what is it, Cheryl?
Because it's what people call me for, okay? Like to interpret their dreams. I would wonder if you have this, you know, there's this thing about life being compared to a test. Mm. Or to school, being in school of life, you know,
okay, Cheryl, I see you.
You see where I'm going with this?
Okay. I do. Okay, school of life, and I am late.
And you're late, and then when you get to the class, you can't have your voice. So is there some sort of internalized anxiety about whether or not you, you're keeping pace, or are you at a place in your life that you think you ought to be? And am I showing fully up? Am I being my full self? That the whole voice thing is not having your voice, or that whole chakra, you know, your throat chakra. And so that's what I would take from that dream. Is that maybe you're anxious, you're worried, you're concerned, even if it's internalized, that you're not where you want to be in life. And when you are there, you aren't, you know, showing up fully as yourself or expressing your full self.
That's good. Okay.
That's
good. Okay.
Call me now. Yes, Miss Cheryl.
1-800.
Yes.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah. Cheryl, do you have dreams where you wake up and you're like, okay, let me dig into what just happened? Do you do that to yourself?
Yeah, I sometimes you have those dreams that just shake you. You wake up and you just, it's there. They stick to you. And so I definitely reflect on them. And sometimes I call my mother, like, I had this dream. What do you think? One dream I had that was like that. This dream happened some years ago, and I'm comfortable sharing it now. I was in graduate school at University of Memphis, and I'd been in the program by this point a year and a half, so that means I'm pretty much done, right? Or halfway through the program, and I got ill. I got sick with Graves' disease, and I had to take some time off from class. Mm-hmm. From, you know, it happened right before finals, and all of my professors gave me an incomplete for my grade, giving me a chance to come back and take the exams, except for one professor. The one professor that did not want to give me an incomplete was in my area of study, and she refused. She gave me an F, and I was the top school student in the program. I was the very top student. And I just looked, I was so hurt. I argued with her, and I was like, you know, do I look like an F student? I'm not, I was a star student. Mm-hmm. And she just gave me this F. I was so distraught. I was so freaking distraught. So I had this dream. I dreamt that I was on an airplane. You know, a jet. I was on the plane. No one else was on the plane. It was just me. And it's like I was standing up on the plane. And, you know, it's not possible to stand up and look out the window at the same time. But that's what I was. I was the only person on the plane, this big jet, standing up and looking out the window. And as I looked out the window, this plane took a deep turn, deep, deep, deep turn in a different direction. It was moving, like turning left. It was banking. At this point, I hadn't traveled very much at all. A few plane rides, not much. And I was very nervous flyer. Mm-hmm. You know, anytime the plane would bank, I would get nervous that it was going to crash. Okay. Ooh. I was very afraid. But in this dream, I was not. I was very calm. And I was just observing that the plane was taking a deep, deep bank to the left. And so I awakened. And I was like, whoa. It got my attention because I was in this dream. I was unafraid. In real life, I had real fear of planes turning or banking. And I thought about it and I thought about it. And I called my mom, of course. And she's like, that's your life. It's about to take a different direction. And it's okay. And it was at that point, I ended up not staying in the program. Mm. And I left school and I started working. I got this incredible opportunity as an art director for the local PBS NPR station. And my life took a totally different turn. And it was just meant for me to move in a different direction and not go back there. I was on a path at that point. I had even interviewed to be a professor of graphic. And then this happened and the woman gave me an F and my life took a different, and I embraced it, taking that different turn in my life. So that's one dream that I've had.
That's like a prophetic dream.
It is.
Yes. Yes, very prophetic. Very prophetic.
I love that because, like, it is, I don't think we've heard that before, that, like, we almost had art professor Cheryl. Like,
yes.
It's amazing how, like, one thing or one turning plane can change the whole direction of your life. That's so interesting.
That is.
I think I've heard before that dreams are also the thing we want to have happening in the reality. Like, I wonder if, like, part of you wanted that change and didn't even know it, you know? Like your subconscious.
Yeah, may have been. I was, you know, pretty committed to the path. And I think without that very jarring, hurtful experience of that professor giving me an F, I would have graduated. I would have gotten a degree and I would have, I've taken that job as an art professor. But had it not been, which is why we can't wish away our problems and trials and tribulations, everything in our lives, I believe this, good and bad, it's all meant for our journey, the path that's been created or that we've chosen for ourselves. And
I just talked to someone recently that said she started having weird dreams a few months ago and talked to her mom about it, like talked to her priest about it. And it turned out she was pregnant. And like she said, she was like swimming in water, but could breathe. And I was just like, wow. And she said she didn't know at the time she was pregnant. And so I know like sometimes things in our bodies, things in our life, can like trigger dreams. Well, at least I think that can happen. And so I'm wondering, Jennifer, have you ever had an experience where like something was going on and you didn't even know it? Or like, did you have pregnancy dreams? Like, have you ever had a moment like that?
I didn't have a pregnancy dream, but I do remember a dream where I actually saw the face of my baby girl. And she had two dimples and that stood out to me for some reason. And literally when she was born, she has these two dimples that are like lit, like just perfectly positioned, like near the corners of her mouth. Mm-hmm. And I could see her face, but it was in my dream.
Oh my God. And this was before she was born. Oh my God. And this was before she was born?
This is before she was born.
Oh my God. Amazing. That is so beautiful.
Yeah.
Okay. This is less beautiful, but I have also heard that like what you eat and like what you drink can affect a dream. Like sometimes when I eat spicy food, I have wild dreams. And if I have a cold, I have the craziest dreams. Like when I had COVID a couple years ago, my dreams every night were like crazy, crazy nightmares.
Oh.
And I don't know if it was like because I had a really high fever when I had COVID. I don't know if it was because of medicine I was taking to feel better. It could have been cold medicine, but I just was having the wildest dreams every night. And I had COVID symptoms for like a week straight. Have you ever? It was just like a T-Rex in my backyard, stuff like that.
What?
Like it would be
like, what was he doing?
Chasing me. Like I would get out my car. Wow. I'd park, and then every night I pretty much had to run up the stairs really quickly before this T-Rex got me.
Wow.
And it was like maybe like a Jurassic Park style T-Rex.
Wow.
So like the ones that have a bad attitude. And it just was like, it was super freaky. And I'd wake up like in a cold sweat because I had COVID. And I'd be like, what was that? And it just kept happening every night.
Wow.
And girl, you were fighting off that, cold fever.
I know.
That sickness demon. Okay. That's why I knew
she would make it biblical. I knew it. He was running from that devil.
You're running from that sickness devil. Okay. Absolutely. That, yeah.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
Ask Curious City anything about the Chicago area. Yeah, anything.
My dad was reminded of a cafe on Sheridan called It's Here. So I was wondering if there's any information on the folk music scene in Chicago then and now.
Send your questions to wbez.org/curiouscity. And it could be the focus of a future episode.
Cheryl, you have told us before that you had an interesting nightmare about some people you worked with. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
One dream I dreamt that I was in a body of water, and it was like a lagoon. I don't know why, you know, I'm using the term lagoon when I had the dream. I knew I was in a lagoon. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's not a part of my everyday life or consciousness, but in the dream, I knew it was a lagoon, and it was dark, dark, darkly colored water. You know, just wasn't like Caribbean blue waters. It was like seawater, dark water. And I was in this water, and I was just kind of treading water. So just not, you know, feet weren't at all touching the ground, the floor. But I was treading water, moving my legs and moving my arms, treading. And I had been in the water for quite some time. But in this one moment, I looked down and I saw sharks were in the water. Mm. And the sharks were skimming, barely touching me. They were so close to me, but they would skim by me, my legs. And I freaked out. Like, oh my God. And I was thinking about getting out of the water immediately. How do I get out of this water? You know, save my life. But then I was like, but you've been in this water all along and they haven't bitten you. So maybe it's not as urgent. And that was the dream. And I woke up, my heart was racing. Of course, you know, I call Ernestine, call my mom. Girl, I had this dream. And so when I told it to her, she was like, girl, there ain't nobody but that job. You need to leave that job. I was working in government, as you know, the infamous governor, mm-hmm. whose name shall remain nameless.
Voldemort.
Okay. Right. And she said, that's that job. It's time for you to get out. You get out and you don't get comfortable just because you haven't been burned yet. Don't wait to get burned. Don't wait to get hurt by this job. Mm-hmm. She's like, get out now. And I began to look to get out, to leave the job. And that was, And I left and got out of that job before the stink hit the fan. And you all know the history of the whole, you know, the whole, how, but yeah, that was a premonition.
So that was not something you wanted to have happen, but it was something kind of warning you. I think warning dreams are very interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've ever been warned in a dream. Jennifer, have you ever been like warned in a dream?
I think so. Yeah. I had a dream. It was interesting because I had this dream that I was in the car with these two people and they were having a conversation and I could overhear the conversation. It was like I was in the car and they knew I was in the car, but they weren't talking as if I was in the car. Mm. Right. And mm-hmm. so, and then at one point, we sort of stopped. And then it was like, when I got out of the car, I was present, you know, like I was, they knew I was there. Mm-hmm. And, I kind of walked away from the situation. And then one of the people in the dream came up to me and just sort of said, hey, you know, I just want you to know about this, right? And they started explaining to me. I don't remember exactly what it was that they wanted me to know, but I remember waking up and thinking, wow, the people themselves in the dream were telling me something, you know, mm-hmm. without telling me. And it was interesting.
That is interesting. I think we should get to what Jennifer has been waiting on.
Which is?
What do you think?
The erotic dreams.
Yes.
Do tell.
I don't. Yeah. You know, it's funny. It's okay. In all seriousness, it's like, honestly, when I have a dream that could potentially be erotic, it's like it stops. You know, it's like it could almost be, but it isn't, you know, right. And
it's just a little, is it like romantic, but not steamy?
No, it's like, it's getting there. And then it's like, something happens and it stops it. I wake up. I'm like, why'd I wake up? You know what I mean? Like,
you try to go back to sleep and continue it in your
head. I do. I try.
Can I mention that Deshaun, our audio engineer, threw his hands up in the air in disappointment when you said that your erotic dreams stopped short.
It happens to me all the time, so I know.
Right?
Wait. I know you're feeling. It makes me mad.
What is that?
Yeah, it's very frustrating.
We need to dig into that.
Dig, you should look that up because
look that up, Taylor.
You know, okay.
For aborted sexual dreams.
Yeah, it's like what. Oh my God, it was so close. Literally.
Okay, literally. Not just figuratively.
Oh my gosh. Wait, it's like a whole Reddit thread.
What does it say?
It's like a lot of other people experience this. So I'm going to send a couple links, but I'm going to read some Reddit people. So one of my favorite places to do internet diving, Quora. This gentleman said, why do my dreams where I'm starting to have sex always get cut off by something? And let's see. It says, personally, I realize the reason for cutting the act short depends on how unconsciously comfortable or safe you feel. Deshaun doesn't buy it.
I know. Go to the next one.
Okay, let's see what someone else says.
I am definitely safe.
When sex shows up in your dreams, break it down into a story that has a beginning, middle, and end, and focus on experiencing the feelings. Huh. I'm like, Miss Cheryl, what do you think? Why do you think that when people are getting to the dream, it just stops?
I'm one of those people. I don't know why it does that. I thought that it was tied to, you know, our cycles, mm-hmm. you know, women ovulating, you might have a racy, sexy dream that's tied to your cycle. That was just my little two cents. Look, I'm trying to figure it out too. We need to get a psychologist on this show.
Okay, I just found an article. I just sent it to you. The cover art is very funny. It's a mouse in bed reaching for a piece of cheese in his dream, but he can't reach it. Okay, so this person said, I'm wondering if you can help me with some dream interpretation. If it helps for context, I am a single 29-year-old gay man. For just about as long as I can remember, I've been having mildly unsatisfying sex dreams in that the dreams never seem to lead to sex itself. My dream partners range from people I work with to people from high school to celebrities that I'll never really meet. I never dream about someone I wouldn't want to sleep with in the waking world given the opportunity. The scenarios are generally different as well. Sometimes the tension is palpable, but we're in a crowded room. Sometimes we get close enough to get started, but nothing ever sets off. Sometimes we start to get hot and heavy, but the dream ends just prior. And each time he wakes up frustrated. He said he has been like freaking out about this during the pandemic. And so he asks a psychologist what's going on. And he's like, he said he supposes it could have something to do with not having the confidence of actually following through. Maybe while awake, he could experiment a little more, and that may help his dream life. And he said the real takeaway here is, it got nasty.
Oh, wow. I found something too.
Tell me, what did you find?
So it is basically that a need is not being met, right? For this reason, romantic and sexual dreams can act as a sign that you aren't having your needs met in one of these areas. Or actually, it was saying cutting off that dream. Maybe your needs aren't met in one of these particular areas. And that in some cases, a sex dream might simply be the result. Now, this is about a sex dream, which I'm about to change this tonight. A sex dream might simply be the result of your sleeping position. So sleeping on your stomach makes a sex dream more likely, perhaps because of the pressure it puts on your genitals. Well, how about it?
Did that help, Deshaun?
I don't know. I don't know about all of that.
Huh. But I think that shows how, like, interpretation can go in so many different directions. I think the one Jennifer gave makes the most sense to me so far.
That definitely rings true.
It was very entertaining to hear that this is a common issue of the cutting short. Cheryl, have you ever had that happen?
No, actually, I was waiting for you, Taylor, to share with us.
I literally... Cheryl, I'm getting chased by T-Rexes up my back stairs. Oh my gosh. Brianna, what about you?
Are we still talking about sex dreams?
Yeah, Brianna.
Yeah, Brianna's had sex dreams before. I've had a couple with like Tarzan-like, Viking-like men.
She likes them burly.
I like them burly. I like them a little... bearded, and they always have locks. In the dreams. And I was in this kind of hilly little house on the prairie type of field, and there were daisies and beautiful flowers, but nobody was pushing up daisies, okay? Everybody was very much alive in this dream. And there was this fine man. He had these abs, and he had dark skin, and he was glistening because, you know, he had that baby oil on in my dream. And I remember he was literally my baby daddy, but my whole, like, husband. And I think that's really nice that he put a ring on it. But I ran to that man because I said, oh, my gosh, this is mine. And I remember he was sitting on the ground and he had a loincloth on. Oh. But then when I was there, he flipped that loincloth off. And then, so anyway, back to you.
And that's a wrap for today's episode. If you like what you heard, subscribe, rate us on Apple Podcasts, and tune in every Friday for your dose of When Magic Happens. And follow us on Instagram at When Magic Happens Podcast. You can find me, Taylor Coward, on Instagram at Taylor Coward Online.
You can find me, Cheryl Jackson, on social media at Cheryl Jackson, and that's Cheryl with an E.
You can find me, Jennifer Shea Love Bowers, on Instagram at Being Shea Love.
When Magic Happens is a production of WBEZ Chicago and part of the NPR Podcast Network. Our truly magical producer is Brianna Garrett. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. Tracy Brown is chief content officer, and engineering by Deshaun Smith. See y'all next week.
Woo! Oh! I dreamed a dream and time gone by. Oh my God.
Which, girl, you can sing.
Yeah, she can.
Which Broadway is this?
That's still Les Mis. Oh.
That was the same song.
Oops.